Research conducted by the American National Institutes of Health has discovered that the brains of highly intelligent children develop in a different pattern from those with more average abilities. Conducted over 17 years, scientists analyzed brain scans and discovered that the cerebral cortex thickens and thins as it develops in a different pattern between the two groups. Some of the research was conducted by doctors Jason Lurch and Alan Evans of the McConnell Brain Imaging Center at McGill University. And to discuss how the research was conducted and what it might mean, I am joined by Dr. Lurch. He's in Toronto. Hello, Dr. Lurch. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us today.
You're welcome.
Now, first, I'm curious, why was McGill brought into this American study?
McGill is, or at least the Brain Imaging Center at the Montreal Neurological Institute, specializes in performing studies on large samples. So for the large data set that they had at the NIH in Washington, we ended up being a good fit to help them out on the method side of the study.
And what criteria did you follow in arranging the groups of children to be studied? What testing did you rely on?
The main testing in this case was the Wechsler intelligence test. All the children were tested the same way, and then they were later on subdivided based on just grouping them into high, medium, and lower intelligence.
So what range are we looking at? What was the upper range?
The upper range went up to 150, so if I remember correctly, it was 128 to 150, and then the lower range was below 108.
And what ages were the children?
They went from 5 until 18, 19.
And how many scans were performed on the kids?
There were a total of 629 scans. So there were 307 kids in the study, and they were all scanned two or three times.
Why did you focus on the cerebral cortex? What's the importance of the cerebral cortex?
The cerebral cortex is, in many ways, the thinking part of the brain where most higher cognitive functions are carried out. So in terms of mathematical ideas, for example, or in spatial perception, vision, those are all the higher processing parts of that are carried out in the cerebral cortex.
And what did you expect to find when you began your study?
The initial expectation was that there would be a mild correlation between intelligence and the thickness of the cortex, which was the specific measure we were focusing on here, and that it would be localized mainly in the frontal parts of the cortex. Basically, we expected that the more intelligent kids would have more cortical thickness in the frontal parts of the brain.
Putting a whole new meaning to the word thick.
Right.
What did you really find when you began to work?
Well, there was very little correlation overall with thickness of the cortex and intelligence of the children. What we ended up finding was that the way that the children matured, so the way that the cortex changed with age, was different in the higher intelligence group than in the lower intelligence group. Basically, the higher intelligence children had a more dynamically changing cortex, a more agile change. So they would increase more rapidly at the early parts of maturation, and then thickness of the cortex would decline more rapidly later on in the teenage years.
So how does this work as a little brain is developing? What is growing? What is making it thicker?
For the most part, it's the way different connections are formed with other parts of the brain that are initially making the brain grow much thicker. But later on in life, those connections are pruned, or the ones that aren't used are being removed. And so then it thins again fairly rapidly.
And that decrease, it would seem to the layman that a decrease in brain size means a decrease in brain power.
Not really. It's the way you can think about it is that initially there's a lot of different connections between parts of the brain that are formed, many of which are not being used. So when you begin to remove some of them, those that are being used have more energy available to them and are more efficient. So the removing parts of the cortex, the pruning, is actually a very important stage in development.
So what does this say about children with high IQs?
It's hard to say any one definite conclusion, but the best way to describe it is that more agile minds, and intelligence is a very distributed process, of course. It's something which doesn't occur in just one part of the brain, but that the types of interactions between different parts of the brain appear to be more dynamic in agile minds in the higher intelligence children than in those which don't quite have the same level of IQ, according to this test.
What does this say about intelligence generally?
Again, it's hard to give a single summary of what it says about it, but it shows that the way that the brain relates to intelligence is, again, as a more agile process. The more intelligent the subpopulation was, the more intelligent the children were. The faster the brain grew at the beginning of the stages, and the more it pruned again afterwards.
Well, it's all very fascinating, Dr. Lurch. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Dr. Jason Lurch was one of the researchers at the McConnell Brain Imaging Center of McGill, studying the pattern of cerebral cortex development in highly intelligent and average children. He's now with the Hospital for Sick Children in Toronto.